talk too much about what it was like. I'm from Jersey. I grew up in Jersey, one of five kids. Was always addicted to chaos. That was my first addiction. If there was no chaos, I was creating it. I was in group homes through high school, and I can't fight, but I would start them just so there was some chaos in the house, a little too quiet, and then get my ass beat and learn my lesson and do it all over again. And I started using when I was 18, and drinking, and at first it was just a party and it was fun, and then I was doing it to quiet the noise and the chaos in my head, right? I don't come from a broken home. My parents love each other very much. They've been married for almost 30 years and act like they just started dating, which can get pretty gross. But they've always set like a really good example for what love is supposed to look like. I started trying to get sober when I was 19. I went to South Florida and did a little rehab shuffle. I was body brokered, and then I became a body broker. And it sucked, and it made me feel like shit. And then I went back to Jersey, and I kind of gave up on the rooms because that was what my first impression of them was. And I just wasn't ready to be sober, so I didn't get sober. Fast forward, I'm 28, living in my parents' basement in Jersey, miserable. There's constantly a handle of Jack glued to my hand. I couldn't like wake up and not drink. I couldn't sit with myself. I was in a really abusive relationship. I came home one night, and my dad, if I told him I was coming home that night, which like he always asked, "Are you coming home? Or are you staying out?" He wouldn't go to bed. He'd stay up in his chair and wait for me to come home. And like sometimes I didn't come home till like 4 or 5 in the morning. And it was one of those nights where I'm rolling in, I could barely walk, and I tumbled. He asked me if I was drunk, and I lied, like looked him in his eyes and said no. And I went downstairs and I fell down the basement stairs, and I just see my dad at the top of the stairs. I didn't have a door, I had a curtain. They couldn't really trust me with a door. He opened the curtain and he was like, "You have no self-respect and no respect for anyone around you." And like, my dad's my best friend in the whole world. I love my dad to pieces. And that broke me down enough to call and get some help. And I came out to California. I didn't really have a lot of willingness. I was either gonna like kill myself or do these steps. And so I did the steps, and around step five, me and my sponsor were sitting in a park going over my step four, and it was the first time I cried since I've been sober. And like that was my spiritual awakening, like being able to this past year like has been really hard. There's been a lot of things that happened. I lost a really good friend, and like death was one of the things that always gave me an excuse to get loaded or drunk. And but there's been a lot of really great times this year. Like I grew up working these steps and sitting in these rooms, and I heard someone speak once, there's two ways you could loiter in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's if you're coming to meetings and you're not working the steps, or it's if you're coming to meetings and you're working the steps and you're not doing your 12 step every day. You're not reaching your hand out to the newcomer. You're not helping the new person. That is my favorite thing to do, to sit down with my sponsees, or like I recently just started house managing, and to sit with these girls who are like where I was once. They don't believe in the program. They're still pretty like hopeless and like sad, and like see them get it and see them get sober and see them stay sober and see them work these steps and go out and find a sponsor and go out and go to meetings and not just go to the meetings because there's boys at the meetings or girls, whatever you're into. I'm personally into the second one. They chase these boys around and are like, whatever gets them to a meeting is fine, because one of those meetings that they're chasing someone around to, they're going to hear something. That's what happened for me. Like I was chasing girls around these meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I went to a meeting one night and the girl didn't show up, and I was like, wow, I look like an asshole if I leave this meeting now. And so I stayed, and I heard something that stuck, and I heard something that made me want to stay. I didn't really want to stay in California. I wanted to run. Like I always want to run. But my best friend was also my detox step when I first came out here, and she was like, "You should just stay and go to IOP." And so I did, and I stayed. And my first time through the steps, I didn't stay sober after them. But when I went back out, it didn't last long. It didn't like feel right. Like I had all this knowledge that I learned, and I was like, "Wow!" Like all my friends now are in AA. Like I don't have any friends outside of AA. Like what am I gonna do? Just be alone and like self-sabotage like everything I worked for. So like, I don't know. I picked myself back up off the floor with the help of you guys, and I did the steps and I linked up with God, and I work my 12 step every day. Every single day I wake up at 6:30 in the morning, I pray, I do my meditation, and I get the day going, right? And I love to just like help other people get this because nobody thought I would. I didn't think I would. God always knew I would, and that's why I'm still here to speak to you guys today. And that's all I got.